I want us to think about salvation. And I want us to think about how far can God go in the process of salvation. I want to ask this particular question. Can God save a crook? You know, I've known some pretty, how would you put this? Pretty big sinners. People have done some pretty bad things. People have lived pretty worldly, wicked lifestyles who have become Christians. I've known some Christians who have gone off into some pretty wicked lifestyles before coming to their senses and coming back to faithfulness. Can God save a crook? Well, how about a murderer? Someone might say, well, sure, God can save a crook. How about a murderer? Do you know that Jeffrey Dahmer, and of course, that's a name that rings a bell with almost all of us, although we might stop and think a little bit, well, yeah, I remember, who was that? What? Terrible mass murderer. After going into jail, he learned the gospel and became a Christian. Can God save a crook? How about a murderer? How about an adulterer? Some would have strong feelings about that. How about a wife beater or a rapist or a practicing homosexual or a drunkard or a drug addict? Or what about a drug dealer or an habitual liar? And the list could go on, couldn't it? We could say, well, how about this? Well, can God save all of these? One who comes out of these various sinful lifestyles? Are you holding back from surrendering your life to Christ because you feel that you're not good enough? I've talked to people who reasoned along those lines. They had done so much. In fact, maybe you believe that you've done too much that's too evil for God to forgive you, whatever it might be. Maybe it was extended over a long period of time. Maybe it was a particular act that you considered to be so horrible that you haven't been able to forgive yourself, and you can't conceive that God would forgive you for that. Or maybe it wasn't just a particular act. Maybe it was a lifestyle that you lived over an extended period of time, and you just did so much, you dipped so deeply into the depths of depravity that you just say, you know, how could God forgive me? Is that where you're at? Do you think you're too bad to be good? Do you feel unworthy to be a Christian? Well, bottom line is, none of us is worthy to be a Christian. None of us. We're not worthy. That's why Christ went to the cross, to pay the guilt, to pay the price for the guilt of our sins, so that through him we could be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. We didn't have that coming. We weren't worthy of the death of Christ on the cross, but by God's grace, he sent him anyway. Remember Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God commends or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't worthy. None of us is worthy. But are you holding back with that mindset that, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm too bad to be good. I've done too much to be forgiven. Is that where you're at? Well, there's good news. Because Jesus came to call sinners to salvation. Sinners. Now, some of us might think that we were pretty good before we became a Christian. We were all sinners. All of us. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 10, it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, there's a reason why tax collectors is put in the same phrase as sinners. In that particular culture of that day, they were considered to be just almost among the lowest of the low. Tax collectors and sinners, why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. None of us can be counted righteous except through Jesus Christ. Again, that's why he came to this earth. That's why he went to the cross. Jesus came to call sinners. That's you and me. God is able to forgive all sins that are repented of and properly sought forgiveness for. Look at what John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that little word all is all encompassing. It leaves nothing out. God is able to forgive all sins, no matter how many you've committed, no matter how bad they have been, no matter how bad you think they are, God can forgive even your sins. And how encouraging should that be? How that should give each of us hope that God can forgive even my sins and your sins. Consider the breadth of the call, the invitation to come to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Come to me," there's that word again, isn't it? "All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The invitation is to everybody. And the Apostle Paul indicated that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 when he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Not for everyone but murderers, not for everyone except thieves, not for everyone except people who have cheated on their spouse, not for everyone," and you fill in the blanks, but he says, "for everyone who believes." So that includes you and that includes me. Jesus did not exclude anybody from the great invitation. In John chapter 6, beginning with verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me," whoever that might be, we should understand, "he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me," whoever would believe in him, "shall never thirst. But I have said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." So as low as you might have been, as mean as you might have been, as wicked as you might have lived, if you come to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, if you come in sincerity, if you come in truth, if you come in obedience, his way, he will by no means cast you out. Jesus came to this world to call sinners, all sinners, to repent. Luke 19 and verse 10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that's everybody without him. That which was lost. Again, all encompassing, excluding nobody. Everybody, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." All are under sin. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now again, some of us might think we're pretty good before we were baptized into Christ. There might be some out there today who think, you know, I'm not so bad, even though they have never been baptized into Christ. Well, let me assure every one of us. Let me assure everybody out there who might have that ill-conceived notion in their minds. We all are sinners. And so someone might, yeah, but I've never committed murder. I've never robbed a bank. I've never beaten up an old lady and took her purse. I've never, again, fill in the blanks. Well, that's good, but you're still lost in sin except through Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are under sin. There is none righteous. No, not one, except through Jesus Christ. That's reality. Now, the encouragement is, again, that all can come to him, as we've seen. All of you who are confused, all of you who are depressed, all of you who are hurting, all of you who are tired, all of you who are lonely or sorrowful or sick, all of you who are carrying a burden of sin around on your shoulders daily, all of you can come to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. The Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And look at this. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Salvation is out there for everybody, if they will come and accept it. Nobody is excluded from the invitation to come to your Savior for forgiveness and salvation. Nobody. Our Lord went to the cross for all sinners, everyone. John 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. All peoples. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for all. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now again, that's by God's grace and how abundant his grace is. But again, he died, he tasted death for everyone. No one excluded. Hebrews 9 and verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. For many. Hebrews 10 and verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that's not just one time for all time, but that is one time for everybody. Once for all. Revelation 5 and verse 9, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, speaking of Jesus, out of, notice this, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Just another form of descriptive language to identify that Jesus went to the cross for everybody, everywhere, for all times. What love from our Father. What a sacrifice he made on our behalf. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let's go back to that text in Romans chapter 5 and look at that a little bit more fully. Beginning with verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we became worthy, because we could not have become worthy on our own. The only way we could become worthy is through Christ. And that's not never become worthy, but we cannot even become redeemed. We cannot be forgiven. We cannot be sanctified. We cannot be reconciled to God except through Jesus. So while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies of God, because of our sin, because of the guilt of our sin, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow. What a text. And again, how encouraging and hopeful that ought to be for us. How reassuring. God did not wait till we could get worthy. That would have been forever, and we never could have accomplished that on our own. But while we were still sinners, he sent his Son to the cross. While we were his enemies because of our sin, he sent Christ to the cross on our behalf. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And that word propitiation means a cover or a substitute. He died on that cross in our place. It has been said that of all the people gathered at Golgotha on that day, all the people who were there, the one person who did not deserve to be on that cross was Jesus Christ. Everybody else deserved to die for their sins. He did not, and he died for everybody. But not only everybody who was there, but everybody else who ever did live and ever would live upon this earth. John 1 and verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The world. John 7 and verse 37, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, again, one of those all-inclusive terms, let him come to me and drink. Anyone. What love. Stop and think for a moment about all of those who are included by those terms. And we've read all of them in these various passages. All men. All peoples, anyone, the world, the whole world, everyone. They're all there in those various texts that we've read. And they keep repeating over and over and over again. Jesus died for all. By God's grace, he sent Christ to the cross for all men and all peoples. Anyone who would can come to him for forgiveness and salvation. He is the Savior of the world, the whole world. Everyone is subject to his call and can be the recipient of the redemption and the salvation that he offers to all mankind. Everyone. Anybody. Those terms include, and here's where we might have a little bit of hang up, but those terms include those guilty of the works of the flesh that the Apostle Paul listed for us in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." You see yourself in any of those descriptions? In any of those terms? "Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Those terms that we read, all men, everywhere, everyone, all world, the world, the whole world, and on, they include those who are guilty of the works of the flesh listed here. Those terms include those described as the sons of disobedience in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting." Again, do you see yourself in any of these terms? "Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Those terms that we read earlier that are all inclusive include those described as the sons of disobedience. They also include those living contrary to sound doctrine, as is listed for us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. None of us is righteous before we come to Christ. No matter how good we might think we are, we are not righteous except through Christ. So knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine or sound teaching from God's word, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. All of those terms, all, everyone, anyone, the world, the whole world, everybody, all of those include people who had been living contrary to sound doctrine before coming to Christ. They even include those described as deserving of spiritual death. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Again, you see yourself in any of these terms before you became a Christian? Murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same but also approve of those who practice them. Even these can be forgiven if they will come to Christ properly. By God's grace, God, through Christ, can even save a crook. He can even save a crook. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. God can even save a crook. Well, he can save all of those others that we have had identified in these various texts of Scripture describing those who have lived in sin. God can even save a crook. These lists describe what we'd consider to be some pretty bad folks, let alone big sinners. We'd all agree. But now, when we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and if we just read through all of these various lists, then we might come away forlorn, because as I've indicated, and I've asked a number of times as we've read through these texts, do you see yourself in any of these terms? We might walk away forlorn. We might walk away dejected. We might walk away feeling like there's no hope for us. But read the next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and that is verse 11. And look at what it says. Paul goes on, he's writing this to Christians. He's writing this to the church at Corinth. And he says, and such. Now that's a reference to that list he's just gone through. What kind of list is that again? Well, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified, not in what you did, but in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Through Christ, you were forgiven. Through Christ, you were redeemed. When you came to Him in repentance, in faith that He is the Son of God and your Lord and Savior, when you surrendered to Him in baptism, at which point your sins were remitted or blotted out, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. They were washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16, by the blood that Christ shed on the cross. Even you were washed. Even you were sanctified. Even you were justified. And again, in large part, all of these lists that we have read include sinful actions and lifestyles practiced by Christians before they were baptized into Christ. Yeah. Can God save a crook? Oh, absolutely. All sins are washed away by the blood of Christ at baptism. And that's why Ananias came to a particular individual and asked him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling in the name of the Lord," Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias said this to Saul of Tarsus, and Saul of Tarsus, later after he became a Christian, referred to himself as the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1 verses 15 and 16. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That's us. And then he said, "Of whom I am chief, the chief of the sinners. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." If God can save the chief of sinners, he can save a crook, and he can save you. No matter how bad you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've done it, will you come to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation today? He can save a crook. God can do it. So be assured, if he can save a crook, if he can save the chief of sinners, even you can be forgiven. Even you can be saved. Are you ready to repent of your sins? Confess your faith in Christ. Surrender to him in baptism for the remission of your sins. You can be forgiven. You can be redeemed. You can be saved this very day. Are you ready, if you're a Christian and have slipped back into those kinds of practices, are you ready to repent of those, confess those to God, and ask his forgiveness in prayer? We'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is step forward and let us know. Or if you need to talk privately, please get with us. But don't hold back any longer. God can save a crook. God can save you, as bad as you've been. Won't you come if you need to right now as we stand together and say,